Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday we started off the morning shaking the Monday morning blues. And we talked about the couple who went out on a date with their friends, and the men at the table decided that they would pay the check and they would split it, and he didn't have any money. Yeah, her man didn't have any money, and leaned over to him and asked, you know, would she loan him some money so he could pay one third of the bill. Well, she insisted that he needed to get over himself, because she didn't feel those friends could care less whether he had a dollar or not. And, she decided to make the announcement that she was going to pay one-third of the bill, and he felt, oh my goodness, so embarrassed, so angry, because she said that she emasculated him. Now, what do you think? Did you cast your vote yesterday as to whether you felt that she emasculated him or not? Well, you know, here's the deal. My theory is she knew he didn't have any money. So why didn't y'all discuss this before you even left the house? Yeah. What was that about? Why didn't you discuss it and then decide how you would handle it? Why didn't you just take care of that early enough so that he would not feel as though, you know, he was, angry or, you know, embarrassed because he felt you, you know, knew when you decided to jump all out there and, you know, embarrass him. And I honestly believe that that could have been handled better. You know, if you wanted to teach him a lesson or whatever you wanted to do, just take care of that then, and then go, you know, going forward, then you make sure that, you know, you get this thing situated. But I don't think that that particular time was the time to actually do that. I think she could have handled it a little better than that. And the Due Time crew actually felt the same way. You know, take care of your business, your personal business, and then, you know, later on, then you do your thing. Okay? Okay. So, you know, Monday is the day we get our switch tip. And switch tip number 184, meet God's requirements. Wow. That's a tall order, you know. Yeah, that's a tall order. That's not something you just gonna wake up with. You know, God's requirements are pretty much out there. You've got the Word of God that you can pick up each and every day to actually see what God wants, what God is expecting of each of us. And, you know, if you don't quite know, go ahead to that word. The Ten Commandments actually covers everything. Yeah. You know, some people don't think, but if you actually give it a thorough reviewing, you'll get to see exactly what God is expecting of us. Yeah. And, you know, on top of that, for those of us who God really wants to use, he actually gives us some clarity directly and some other methods of knowing, you know, what he wants us to do in order to meet those requirements that he has for our life directly, because, you know, we have the overall word that everyone has to follow. And then when God wants you to do a little bit more, he's going to directly communicate with you, whether it's by the Spirit of the Lord who leads you to do certain things, or rather, his direct spoken word. Oh yeah, he's gonna get down to it. He's gonna let you know that he has some things in store for you to do. Yeah. Listen, I can tell you about that. And so can a whole host of other people. You know, people are, you know, at the point where they feel like, you know, they don't know what God wants them to do, and, you know, they don't know, quote unquote, their purpose and so forth and so on. Let me help you with something. God gets no glory out of your life when you walk around all confused and in a daze trying to figure this thing out. That ain't happening. Especially if you're some full-grown adult. Yeah. What does God get out of that? I may not be able to tell you what your, you know, requirements are in addition to everybody's, you know, the basic requirements of every single individual. I may not know what your purpose is or what God wants you to do, but I refuse to believe that you're going to be in your 30s and you don't know what God wants you to do, especially if you've given your life to the Lord. Yeah. How do you serve him? What purpose does he get out of calling you? Because remember now, you didn't wake up and want, you know, him. He's actually calling you and you're responding. He wants you well before you want him. So you're going to have to get this together. He wants you before you want him. So there's no way in the world you're going to be walking around in a daze talking about you don't know what God wants from you. That doesn't even make any sense. You are going to have to tune in to what God actually wants. You will have to pay a little more attention to God so he can tell you what he wants from you. Okay? That's not going to be no mystery. That's not going to be no mystery. It's got to be something out there that you do well. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be something that you're watching someone else do. Because remember the story of the talents. God gives according to who you are. God just don't throw no whole bunch of stuff up in the air now and let the chips fall where they may. No, everything is, really planned out by God. So, come on, know the God you serve. If you've answered his call, he has pretty much told you what he wants you to do. Now, that may not mean that's the end all and be all of what you do. Now, don't get it, twisted. It may not stop there, but surely by the time, you really have been on the way of serving the Lord, he has definitely told you exactly what he wants of you. Okay, so make sure you, meet those requirements and get it together. All right? All righty. Well, today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. Oh, yeah. Now, I don't have a church folk question. I don't have a church folk anything right about now. Now, we always kind of roll into that. And somehow or another we can, the Due Time crew always helps me get to a church folk issue based on our news if I don't have, something. But if you've got something, I don't mind you, reaching out and getting me that question or that comment, all right? So know that the floor is open this morning. I don't know if the Due Time crew is going to come up with something, but trust me, I wouldn't be surprised if they did, all right? All right, so come on, let's get that healthy breakfast. Come on, let's tell somebody that it's Due Time with Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, don't go anywhere, because we will be right back.
Nearly every hour of every day, one person will lose their life to oral cancer. This year alone, more than 34,000 Americans will be diagnosed. Only half will still be alive in 5 years. Oral cancer is more common than leukemia and kills more people each year than cervical or skin cancer. Tragically, many victims don't even know they're in danger. Though tobacco and alcohol increase risk, 25% of those diagnosed have no risk factors. Scientists are learning more about this disease and developing new ways to treat it. But what can you do now to stop the silent killer? Early detection. A quick, painless oral cancer screening takes less than 5 minutes and can save your life. For more information, contact your dentist or visit DeltaDentalNJ.com today.
Good morning. Good morning and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. We are underway. The week is underway, everybody. We have gotten started into our week, and I don't know what this morning will bring, but I guess we'll find out this morning. Yeah. So let's see what we got to talk about today. Let's see. I don't have a lot. I don't have a lot. The news wasn't banging last night, but I do have some stuff to talk about. Let's see what's on the roster this morning. Let me see. You know, I always say, you don't know what in the world is going to be next in this crazy world of the news. What about you? Well, so we have this supermarket worker out in Colorado. He is working, or he was working, in the Safeway market. The Safeway supermarket. And seems like he was working in maybe the produce section, I believe. Well, this is 32-year-old Stephen Masalta. And back in February, he was charged with indecent exposure charges. And they said someone reported him exposing himself outside local coffee shops, including once to a child. Now, I don't know what's wrong with these people, because you already know what the deal is when it comes to the kids. And they said when they did a review of digital evidence that was collected in his home, it showed that he had also masturbated and ejaculated on some food products. Now, what's going on, y'all? I don't know how to handle this piece of information. Don't we always talk about the fact that you don't want to be videotaping stuff? So it shows that he had masturbated and ejaculated on the food at a Safeway store, and they give the address. So I don't know how, you know, they even get to the point of, you know, knowing exactly which one, which store he actually did all of this at. But I guess that was part of the video surveillance on this camera, or this video feed on this camera. Now, they said that on a Facebook posted, there was evidence, because he had videos on Facebook. Now, here's the part that really kind of got to me. They say, and this is how they worded, They say the folds involved were not commercially sealed. Oh, God. They say he worked at the supermarket from December to February, and the store is cooperating with their, with the cops' investigation. Now, his total charges: indecent exposure, attempted indecent exposure, attempted unlawful sexual conduct, and attempted sexual assault on a child. Now, they said they still have more videos to go through. Now, again, why people feel the need to, you know, videotape everything they do, I don't know. I guess, you know, he wanted to look at his stuff, you know, the stuff he did over and over and over again. And, you know, listen, people, just take your stuff home and wash it over and over and over again. Because, oh, Lord, have mercy. You don't know what's on your stuff. You don't know what's on your stuff. I don't, you know, why? Why our food? Why the store? You know, is he mad, you know, at somebody? And that's your way of getting back to that person and everyone else. You know, I don't get it. I don't get it at all, and, you know, I really hope they sentence him well, because that is something that could really make another person ill, you know? You know, I remember, do you remember when we used to go through the produce aisle and pick up grapes and stuff like that and just eat it? We ain't wash it off. We ain't kiss it up to God. Remember that? Oh, Lord, you got to pray over everything you put in your mouth. You got to pray over everything you put in your mouth. Oh, what else we got here? We got these, this mother and daughter partnership, and they have their own operation going on out here in Texas. So you've got this mother and daughter duo who allegedly operated an illegal butt injection operation. They offered a complete medical procedure for about $6,000. Now, they're based out of somewhere around Houston. So the Houston Police Department, they conducted an undercover sting last week Wednesday, which led to the arrest of 56-year-old Consuelo Dalbo and her daughter, 18-year-old Isabella Dalbo, and they were both charged with unlawfully practicing medicine without a license. Now, the mother was also charged with knowingly delivering a controlled substance. Now, according to the documents they have, the mother and daughter were at a short-term rental, and they were offering butt injections for $6,000. Now, how they got caught was because they met some undercover officer, and while they were operating this rental, and somehow or another convinced, you know, her that they were legitimate, and they had planned to inject some brown liquid, which was unlabeled, into her butt, and they didn't realize that she was an undercover officer. So they say that they also offered her some Xanax to relax before the injection. Now, they say during this sting, they seized multiple bags of injectables and medical supplies, and the Houston Police Department is conducting a thorough investigation, and they're asking for anyone who believes that they may have gotten this this procedure done by this mother and daughter duo. And again we are going over this story. And I think since we've been on here going on the 4 years, we have next month, oh my goodness gracious, we'll be 4 years next month, God spares. I can't tell you how many times we've done this story. And people are still falling for this. Now, clearly, somebody must have gave them up if they are under, you know, they were under, you know, under surveillance. If some undercover cop got a hold to these, you know, these two and what they were doing, then clearly somebody had to have some butt injections by them. And I cannot figure out, what credentials do you look for? What credentials do you look for? Okay, so you go to these people, somebody, you know, knocks on your door, or somebody rings the phone, and they say, okay, I hear, you know, you do butt injections. Do you just walk up in this place and you just let them give you the Xanax and let them give you these butt injections and you walk up out of there and you're good to go? You know, so here's the other problem. Here's the other problem. So now they're saying they're working out of a short-term location. You know what that means? That means it can be an Airbnb. That means it can be any place. It doesn't necessarily, and it's probably not, some type of medical office. Because, you know, you could go into a medical office and, you know, they can be posted up anywhere. Because, you know, we're going into more and more, you know, like homes. You know, they're converting different homes. They're converting, you know, we go into buildings here in New York. Some of our doctors are, you know, operating out of apartments in buildings. But most of us get our referrals from our health insurance, you know, with their registry of doctors and, you know, practitioners and surgeons. And I mean, I'm not looking up these people in the Yellow Pages or on Craigslist or, you know, word of mouth only. You don't go to somebody reputable. I mean, I'm not feeling sorry anymore. I'm sorry. I did all of that sympathy, that has gone out the window. I'm not feeling sorry for nobody who's going to get no butt injections these days. I'm not. I don't care what anyone says. I know it's you know, it's your body. Yes. I have no problem with that. Do what you want to do with your body. But I think it was last week I said, having gone under the knife as many times as I've had to, you know, and I'm sorry, you shouldn't have to go under the knife as many times as I've had to in order to use your common sense. And we know common sense can't be bought out here these days because there is clearly no common sense. But I have a video, and I think I'm going to post that video again today. And that video has to be about 7 years old now. Has to be about 7 years old. We were just looking at it like a couple of months ago, a month and a half ago or something. And, again, you know, I'm looking at these two here. I'm looking at these two, and I'm saying to myself, would I let these two do any type of procedure on me? Nah. Nah, you got to look like something. Yeah. I'm saying that, yes. People think that I might be a little extreme, but I'm sorry. The way I'm looking at the pictures of these people, and I know they're, you know, these are mug shots and things like that, but I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, when you have something that is going into your body, into your blood system, into your bloodstream, however you want to say it, then you need to really take a little more precautions, do a little more investigating, especially being that all of this is going on and they have just been shedding light on this issue over and over and over and over again, especially because of this. So I'm not feeling sorry. So they want to know, you know, they give a phone number for anybody who has possibly had this procedure done by these two people. And I guess, you know, this is the way they'll kind of add up the charges because of the victims. So, oh, well, if you can't sit down or you got something oozing from your butt, then too bad for you. I ain't worried about you. I'm sorry. Yeah, Pastor Steph said it because it's just stupid at this point. It's really, really dumb at this point. You just can't be that dumb. What else are we talking about here? All right. So, for those of us who have been on these airplanes with the people who must have their dogs on the airplanes, well, I don't know what they're going to start doing about this now, because we're not talking about CNI dogs. We're talking about these, I forgot how they call it, these dogs where the people can't function by themselves, and I can't think of the name of it, but I guess I'll come across the name of it in this article. Well, there was a flight on United Airlines going from Seattle to Dallas last week. And oh my. Now, here's something that they must have changed, because I remember Pastor KL also mentioning this. He and I, where did we go? Was it to see Pastor Kim? I think we went to see Pastor Kim. And that's the first time. No. That's when we went to a funeral together. And I'm getting a hit. That means somebody's gonna tell me what these dogs. Yep. Thank you so much. I can always rely on my dutiful listeners. The service animals. Yep. Thank you so much. The service dogs. Thank you so much, my due time listeners. These service dogs we saw on the flight. He flew in from Alabama. I flew in from New York into North Carolina. And this is my first time, and this was his first time ever seeing a dog on the plane. And the dogs were loose. Yeah, they weren't, you know, loose like without a collar. I mean, without a, you know, one of those things that you, my gosh, why am I drawing such a blank today? My brain is fried. But y'all know what I'm talking about. A collar, you know, with the chain, whatever. And this is how they were riding. And I was like, wait a minute now. So I'm riding with dogs and crazy people? Oh, my gosh. Well, United, I don't know. They must have changed their procedure. But I guess for a moment they didn't, because they said on this flight from Seattle to Dallas, the dog took a poop on the plane in first class. Oh, wow. Now, I'm not celebrating, but I thought it was extremely interesting that this went down up in first class. Now, it does not mean it didn't affect everybody on the plane, because that was the problem. Yeah. They say that the crew spent 2 hours cleaning the carpets with paper towel. Now, people were complaining, and they said it was a smell that they had never experienced before. And somehow or another, this took place in the first class toilet. So I don't know what goes on up in first class, whether they feel that the dogs can use the bathroom, but they said it was so bad that somehow or another, I'm still trying to get this here. They literally said the food went bad while on the ground, so very few snacks left. Okay, so here's what happened. So they had to be rerouted. Yeah, they didn't quite make it to their destination. They had to land. The plane was diverted to another airport. And while they were cleaning, spent these 2 hours cleaning, the food that they had for the people ended up going bad. So they said that the people couldn't even get snacks properly. Now, they say that the animal is supposed to be in a cage and underneath the seat. Yeah, that's what they said. On domestic flights, they can fly if they fit in a carrier and the carrier can go under the seat. And they are supposed to remain there at all times. And I'm trying to figure out, well, how does this work? Because if you get your... Okay, so wait. Let me say this. The first way I found out, and I flew LaGuardia. The first way I found out that dogs were allowed on the plane itself was when I was going to the terminal, and I actually saw a place that wasn't too far from our restrooms that said it was for the dogs. Yeah, and I'm like, what do you mean it's for the dog? Dogs can come. I was living. Oh, my gosh. I was going from the initial, like, entry into all the way to the terminal. And this is when we're really doing work at LaGuardia. So you really had some ways to walk. And I could not believe a place where you could take your dog to, you know, to walk it, to use the bathroom. So now you allow the dogs on the plane in a carrier, and it's underneath the seat. But what happens when the dog needs to go to the bathroom? That's the part I'm not catching here. So, sure enough, they said that the dog made the poop. They said they had to reroute. They had to land. They took so long that whatever food they had on the plane ended up spoiling. So they had very few snacks to give to the people. And so people were in an uproar, needless to say, because you have no say. Because they've got these supposed service animals, service dogs, these dogs are allowed on the plane, and if they have to move their bowels, they got to pee, they just do it. Where else they going to do it? You're not going to land the plane so they could go. Yeah. So, you know, Lord have mercy. You know, like flying doesn't have its own concerns already. Yeah, well, this is how this is going down. And these people were in a pure uproar. Now, they did get back on the plane, they said, but unfortunately, they said that the smell never went away. Well, I'm not surprised. I am not surprised at all that they had to continue and on this journey. And they say the plane never smelled the same again. So my question is, well, when y'all got to the final destination, what'd y'all do? Did everybody going forward have to keep riding this same plane until the plane got the smell back? Yeah, well, I don't know. Oh, I see drive. Can't drive everywhere. You ain't got time to drive everywhere, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You ain't got a whole lot of options, that's for sure. What else are we talking about here? All right, I got a couple quick stories before we go into our conversation with our due time crew. So you've got this. I'm telling you, these people are crazy. So you got this couple who have five children, and they put out there into whatever postings or whatever that they can't handle it. Yeah. They say they can't handle the children. They cannot handle being parents anymore. These are the biological parents, and there's a couple who decide to adopt the five children, and the adoption goes successfully. Everybody's fine until the birth parents decide that they want to put an RV on the people's property. Now, I don't know what kind of arrangements were made, because generally when you adopt, they don't give you all of that, you know, information, like where I live and all of this kind of stuff. Yeah, well, somehow or another, they knew where the adoptive parents lived. And they wanted to, they actually put one of those on the property. So the adoptive couple moved. I don't know how they ended up finding them again, but somehow or another, they end up locating these people again with their children, and they get into some type of issue. So the adoptive father goes on the dark web and hires a hitman. Oh, Lord. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he hires a hitman. And I don't know what – this is like such a convoluted story. Well, he then ends up changing his mind. And that's one of the ways they found out about the fact that they hired this hitman. So you now get a conscience, and you don't want the kids' parents to be killed. and you kind of you try to reach out to the person and you try to get them from. Now they had paid them $16,000 already. They paid the person $16,000. It was a couple of people. They did their surveillance and everything, but they never quite got to try to actually kill the people. So now they're all locked up. Oh my gosh. So now the five children are left in limbo because the first parents, the biological parents, had already said they don't want them. And they don't know whether the wife had anything to do with it. But the children are not with the wife. The new mama. How are you even fit to be the parents of five children when you can't even handle a dispute without hiring a hitman? Lord have mercy. You know, the other day I said to somebody, I think it was Serge, we were talking yesterday, and I said, all these children are just angry. This new generation, it's filled with angry children. You got biological parents who don't want you, and you got your new parents who hire hitmen to solve their problems. So what kind of parents are the children left with? Because do you leave the five children with the new mother? So she's supposed to handle five children on her own. Oh, my goodness. She's supposed to handle five children on her own. I don't know. I got one more story for you. And this is a crazy story. This is one crazy story. The librarians are fed up out in California. They say that out there, the libraries have, I mean, the people who are in the libraries, not the libraries because the books can't do nothing, but the people who are in the libraries are going buck wild. They have the same complaints here in Brooklyn. They say they are dealing with all kinds of stuff now that they've got the homeless, problem out here. They say the homeless people are now in the libraries. They say the homeless people are threatening the library visitors. They said they are going buck wild out in Iowa. I don't know if they took this mass survey of librarians, but they have librarians contributing to this article from all over the place. All over the place. And they said they are fed up. They have some librarians who have literally quit. They say they have found the people in the libraries masturbating to pornography at the terminals. Children are within feet of where they're doing this. They say they found the shell casings. They have found shell casings in the library. They said that there was a shootout in the library between two teens. They say that they have found drug dealers dealing heroin in the library. They say that they have dealt with heroin overdoses in the library. They say they have schizophrenic episodes in the library. Let me see what else they talk about that's going on. Oh, they said that they have found people having sexual intercourse in the library. Yo, this is crazy. Fist fights, they say, that have gone down in the library. Now, I would be the first to say that I'm sure this has not, just started. Oh, somebody from Tampa said that in a library bathroom, they found someone recording himself masturbating. And they have him under arrest. Oh, my goodness gracious. Somebody in Nashville. So they must have taken a survey because they have they've got people from all over the place. Out in Colorado, all of these people have. So maybe what they did was they just did this, you know, when maybe a couple of people started complaining, a couple of the librarians started complaining. They started doing this mass, survey to find out what exactly is going on in libraries throughout the nation. And they said that out in San Diego, they have a $185 million library. Their main branch is it costs that much to put up. And in that library branch, they had a man who was shot dead last August. And they said that all they want to do is do their jobs, but they're not getting any peace of mind. You can't even get a peace of mind in the library. In the library, they even have a 23-year-old librarian from New Orleans who has complained. They say out in New Orleans, they have hired a couple of locations I see. They've hired armed security guards to be in the libraries, but out in New Orleans, they say that there was a young, in the 20s, 20-something year old security guard who they say is now being charged with attempted murder because there was a patron in there who threw a brick at her and she fired back at him. And they're saying that the librarians are complaining that the security firm out in New Orleans, they are hiring armed guards who are not properly trained, so they are causing a bigger problem out in those libraries. Oh, my goodness. No rest for the weary, y'all. No rest for the weary. Where is my due time crew? Let's say good morning to Pastor Jeff. Good morning, Pastor Jeff.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well.
Pastor Jeff, I'm glad to hear you doing well because a whole lot of these people in these news articles, they are not doing too well. So, Pastor Jeff, let's start with, I want to come back to that one. Okay, have you flown, Pastor Jeff, and found the dogs on the airplane with you?
No, I mean, I've flown first class a few times, and there was never no dogs, and I would have had a problem with that. I can't stand these people with their dogs, man. They act like they're human and they sitting at the table, you know, eating with you and everything else. I got some preacher friends of mine that always invite me over to their house, and I tell my wife I don't want to go because their dogs be running between my legs while we eating and everything. I can't stand that mess. What's wrong with these people with their dogs, man? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Little rats running around.
All right, so needless to say, you're not in agreement with the dogs should be on the plane. You know, I don't know what they expect dogs to do. You know, they said, well, you know, they need to be underneath the seat in a carrier. And if your flight is somehow delayed, you know, we've all been on a plane or gone to take a plane ride and you've had to sit out there because there's some level of delay, you know, from the plane being able to pull off, and now that extends your, you know, the fact that your dog is on this plane without going, being walked. So I don't know what they expect, you know, of these dogs at the end of the day. They really act like they're human at this point. And this is absolutely crazy. Well, it happened up in first class. They said it was in the bathroom. So I don't know how it got in the bathroom. I don't know. You know, they didn't say anything about that. They just said that it ended up in the bathroom. And this plane wasn't the same again. So I don't know, Pastor Jeff.
They deserve that. Letting these stupid dogs on. These people got money to fly first class. Then they got money to put their dog in a dog hotel till they get back. You know, they act like they can't live without these little rats. You know,
absolutely. I agree. You know, I don't know what to say if you have to take your dog with you everywhere. That's not making, you know, that I don't think it's fair to the rest of the population. And that's I think is the insensitivity. You know, some people are bona fide allergic to dogs and they can't be around dogs. So, you know, so now no one else has a say. You have an allergy to dogs?
I have allergy to dogs, but I love dogs. But, I mean, I love big dogs that protect, that are vicious. Those are the type of dogs I love. That it's worth feeding them because they do a job. These little rats that people be riding, what are they? They all they do is make noise and poop. You know what I'm saying? You might as well get a cat.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, I don't know what they're going to do.
It's a waste of dog food.
You know what? Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, well, I ain't too keen about the big dogs either. I don't want them around me. And that they're not.
The big dogs protect the family. You know, if you got a big dog and he's trained, you know, they protect the family. Especially, I love them white German Shepherds or white Huskies. You know, that's my thing. That's what I've had growing up. And they serve a purpose. They keep people away. They protect the kids, you know. But these little rats, you know what I'm saying, they do nothing but what? What do they do? They don't scare nobody. Somebody come around your house and kick them, you know. And
oh, my goodness. Well, okay, so I got a question for you. What says what happens when the dogs attack the babies? We've had several of those happen.
I don't believe in them crazy dogs like pit bulls and all that. That's nonsense if you have these dogs around your family. But I'm talking about, you know, big dogs that are known to be protective and gentle. Anybody can flip. A human being can flip on you, you know, and kill you. You know, somebody you thought was safe. But for the most part, you know, the German Shepherds and the Huskies and stuff like that, they, you know, they protect dogs and they don't flip. Like them pit bulls and stuff like that. So normally, anything can flip on you. Anything can have mental illness, you know, or get a demon in them. You know.
Okay. All right. I got a question for you. What do you think of these? You know what? I'll pass on that one. What do you think about this couple? The couple has five children. They put out there that literally the mother put out there that she cannot, you know, they can't handle the five children anymore. It's become too much for her. They don't give the ages of the children, but a couple, they decide to, you know, adopt the children, and then the father, because they're having problems with the birth parents, the father pays $16,000 in Bitcoin, for Hitman to go kill the parents. Oh, my goodness gracious. Where does this leave the children? That's my biggest question, Pastor Jeff. What do you think about this case?
Well, I mean, the children shouldn't be with that, you know, the adopted parents. If you got the capacity to go have the real parents killed, you know, like that. I mean, that's just ludicrous. That's a murderer. You know, that guy got a murdering spirit in him. You know, you don't need no kids. I mean, that's just real crazy. Some craziness. Mental illness, I mean. But we see it all over, right?
Do they leave the children
you want kids
with...
for? When you... Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I said what you need kids for if you got a murdering spirit.
Right.
You end up murdering them kids next.
Right.
Get on your
nerves. Right. Right. You actually going to get children if you can go out and murder these people and but they're birth parents. Do you think they should leave the children with the mother, with the new adoptive mother, if she wants to keep them?
No, because if that new adopted mother could pick a murderer to be with, you know, why would I leave my kids there? Look at the choice she made and the man she picked. You know, why would I leave my kids there?
Okay, all righty.
But I guess the real parents just want to get rid of their kids. You know, they ain't capable of taking care of their kids, so maybe there's a problem there too.
Yeah.
Maybe the real parents really did something to make you want to murder them that we don't know about. You know?
Yeah, they don't quite say what the last straw was that made him actually hire the people to kill. But the first thing was they say that the birth parents actually set up camp on the adoptive parents' home, on their property. So in order to get away from them, they didn't do anything. They just moved. They moved. They relocated. They figure, okay, we're going to leave, they're going to leave them alone. Just go ahead and relocate. Now, here's the thing. They say that the initial mother said she was concerned for the safety of her children and needed a reprieve from parenting. Those were her exact words. And that's how the children got put up for adoption in the first place. So
that means there was a deep problem there that maybe the real parents had, you know, think about killing them kids and needed a break, you know?
Yes.
So it looked like issues all the way around the board. But there's more to this story. You know, there's more to this story.
Oh, my gosh. Well, what about the library? What about the libraries, Pastor Jeff? You hear this myriad of madness going on in the library. What is happening? Librarians are quitting. You know the world's got to be crazy when the librarians can make the decision to quit.
They need security. They need all of that. Keep these folks out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the library is supposed to be a safe place to come and study, to come in, you know, and they need to. But I remember right there on Jamaica Avenue there, across from the bus terminal, you know, that's where we hung out, getting out of school. You know, after you got off the trains and stuff from coming from school, everybody hung out there, and it'd be too much riffraff going on. That even back in those days, you know, back in the 80s, you know.
So,
you need to stop it. You need to stop it. You know, the first thing to stop it, you know, I'm gonna get back on it. Get these migrants to stop flooding in here. And letting them do whatever they want to do and making it, you know, catering to them like that when we're not looking out for our own.
Absolutely. Oh, thank you so much for joining us, Pastor Jeff. We'll be back to have a conversation. Let's say good morning to our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, God, our Father, and Son, Jesus Christ. God bless you and good morning.
Oh, my goodness gracious. How are you, Pastor KL?
I am doing blessed and highly favored in God.
Oh, amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Pastor KL. Yes, 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 amen. We got this, we talked about these dogs being on the planes before. Now that they are officially walking themselves, do you think there's going to be a change in this policy?
There needs to be. Let me say this, that, you know, I'm a dog lover, but I'm like Pastor Jeff, he would appreciate me. My dogs are 250 pounds and 200 pounds. So I have very, very big dogs, English Mastiffs. And I've also trained dogs. So the theory of a crate or a cage, if you will, when you buy a small enough cage that the dog can only turn around in, technically he won't go to the bathroom because dogs will not crap where they lay. Dogs will not crap where they lay. So that's why they say put them in a cage. So they can stay in that cage for a while. Mentally, they will not go to the bathroom. However, if you let this dog loose, he's going to do what he does.
Okay. Wow. So, okay, let me ask you this. Is it fair, if you will, to put a dog in a cage for hours if you know that it can't even move its bowels or relieve itself? Is that even fair?
Well, I mean, okay, so dogs are almost like us. So if you know, you should tell your children before you go shopping, go to the bathroom because we ain't stopping. So, I mean, you won't have to go. I mean, it's not like you crap, you know, every hour on the hour. You know, a lot of times, you know, you get that. Yeah, so, I mean, if you let them relieve themselves before they get on the plane, then they're fine. Okay, so from New York, I had macaws and cockatoos, and they're very, 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 very big birds. So I brought my birds with me when I relocated to Alabama, but I had to put them on a plane in a cage. You know, so, I mean, is it fair? No, but if you're relocating your life and you want to take your loved one with you, yeah, you bring them.
Yeah, but I ain't talking about that. I'm not talking about a must. I'm not talking about relocating. I'm not talking about, you know, stuff like that. I'm talking about because you just want to travel.
No, I mean, just to have fufu with you? No. Actually, the problem is them pocket dogs, you know, the Yorkies and the Shih Tzus, them pocket dogs. So you'll never find a cage small enough that they won't release themselves because they're too small, you know, so they're going to be crapping all over the place.
Wow. Oh, wow. Well, maybe there'll be, you know, because of this, there'll be some turn because they, you know, they have some, in the same article, they have, you know, some people giving their experiences from the, they were on the same flight, and they were talking about this was not their first time. They said that the one particular passenger said that was not his first time, that there was another time where they actually landed and there was a lot of turbulence on the flight. And they said as soon as they landed the whatever chain or whatever he was on, he snatched away, ran out off the plane and pooped right where we get off. You know, right when you step off the plane. So they couldn't let anybody step off the plane after that until they cleaned up this mess. And they said that took almost an hour and a half for them to do before the people could even get off, before they could even get off the plane. So this may force some type of a turn in this traveling, these dogs traveling on domestic flights. I don't know. What did they do with the dogs prior? Do you know? Were they underneath the plane?
Yeah. Okay, so when you have a big dog like mine, and if I wanted to travel, they go underneath the plane.
Okay.
They go underneath the plane.
Okay.
But again, with that instance that you just said, you know, you got to know your animals. Certain animals are prone to anxiety. So if they hear thunder, they hear fireworks, you know, they hear loud noise, they automatically poop. That's just what they do. So if you know you're traveling with that kind of dog, you got issues. Put them in a cage.
Okay, okay. Wow. This is some stuff here. Wow. All righty. So you have this woman who has five children, and you know she says that she's afraid for their safety, so she puts them up for adoption. The new adoptive parent, they drive this the biological couple drives the new adoptive parents to where he wants to kill them. So now they have him locked up. Do you think they should leave the children with the new adoptive mother?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, first of all, you know, in my theory, there had to be some type of loophole where you missed how crazy this person was in the interview for adoption. There had to be something. First of all, I would question your sanity to want to adopt five children at the same time anyway. There's some type of craziness in there. That's not love. There is some type of I'm just loose, a screw in my head. Now, for the parents who talks about, you know, they're feeling some kind of way now and because they got five children, you knew you was feeling some kind of way after the second child. Why you kept on having children? You know, you wait till you got to five children to all of a sudden say, hey, wait a minute, I can't take this no more? So why do that to the children? After the second child, I would have had to stop. Okay. But
well,
now you want to adopt five children?
Thank you.
There's something wrong with you. Listen, I don't want five of my grandchildren at the house at the same time, let alone if they say they got to spend the night for a night. But I want to live with five more children? No, go kill me. Kill me. Just kill me.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Let me ask you something. What about the librarians? What should they do in these libraries now that these poor librarians are suffering with all of this activity? All they want to do is move the books around and help the people. And I'm pun intended. You know, I'm not saying that's all they do.
Right.
But, you know, they live very quiet lives in this, you know, in this profession. What should they do to help
Listen,
these people?
The library has gotten, I mean, from this story I'm hearing you talking about, the library has gotten out of hand. I mean, totally out of hand. There was a time where you had to whisper. You couldn't have no full kind of loud conversation. You had no whisper in the library. People went to the library to study, to research, to look for some books. That was the easiest job to have. The only thing somebody was going to ask you was, do you have this book? We wasn't having no full conversation. But where can you tell me where the fictions are? Where's the history book? Now they doing all type of stuff in the library. No, no, no. If I was a librarian, I'd want to get a police job. Because all you're doing is policing the folks in the library. No, 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 thank you.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. When I couldn't believe last night when I was actually reading all the activity that takes place in the libraries now. And I was like, this has got to be really disturbing to librarians. Because, you know, like you said, it was, you know, rather simple, and I'm not saying that there was never a little stir every once in a while, and I'm not, you know, saying that they did nothing. But, I mean, really, they really, you know, the biggest thing, you know, did not entail this stuff here. And, I mean, this is all over. The locations, everywhere you look, I was like, oh, my gosh, they really must have gone to the police records and gone through the problems that they're having in libraries. So I don't know. You know, they now have armed guards in libraries, and this is crazy because that means that there's no rest for the weary. Goodness gracious, goodness gracious. Thank you so much for joining us. Pastor KL. Pastor Jeff, Pastor KL, I you weren't on when I said this. I have no church folk issue. Please think of one, because after Sean, or question, church folk question, you know, after I talk to Shantice, we going for broke on my end. So I'm looking forward to getting, you know, what's on your mind, picking your brain. Let's say good morning to Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good, good, good. I'm well, thank you. I'm well, thank you. All right, we're talking about the dogs on the plane. Do you think they'll now rethink this dogs on the plane thing now that this seems to be happening more often?
I hope so. I really hope so. I'm not a dog lover. I'm allergic to dogs. And thank God, you know, the times I've flown since this has become a thing to now have the dog with you on your lap in the bag or whatever. I thank God I have not had to sit next to someone, because that would have been one of the situations where I guess this plane ain't moving until one of us back down, and it ain't going to be me. Because it's just so inconsiderate. It is extremely inconsiderate. And now with, I'm kind of happy that, because it's like nothing gets done, nothing gets changed until something drastic to someone else happens. So hopefully this is drastic enough. It doesn't have to get to the point where another passenger slaps somebody else's dog as if it's a human. Like, I don't know what, if this doesn't change, I don't know what they're waiting for, unless they're really waiting for there to be a big brawl between people, because I don't want to sit next to your dog. It doesn't have to be that the passenger is allergic. Like, it can just be something as simple as, I don't want to sit next to your dog. And because you have an issue, now everybody on this plane got to be emotional, because now everybody has to be subjected to your emotions and this emotional dog.
Okay. All right. So I have the question of the adoptive mother. You know, her husband is now in jail for hiring a hitman to bump off the biological parents of your five adopted children. Should they leave the five children with the new mother?
And the new mother is the one who put the hit out on the parents?
Well, they didn't say she was connected to it. They said that the father was.
Yeah, that's still really close. Because it's for us, this should have been, or this had to have been, a joint decision to adopt five children. It's really difficult. I'm not saying it's not possible. It is really difficult for, and you know, you hear that a lot of the times, especially when it's like a child within the family, you know, somebody on the white side, you know, a child could be facing being put into the system, or on the husband's side or whatever, and the opposite spouse may say, I don't know about taking this child in, and that spouse may be fighting to take that child in, whatever, and then it may be a compromise, like, okay, but as it was stated, five, I don't see how one of them would have agreed to take it in five, but the other was just like, no. So it, with then this being a decision to bring in the five, and one of you starts speaking and decides to now kill, it's almost safe to say that you need to evaluate both. So y'all living together, I don't see how, you know, if a social worker, we've been hearing stories about these social workers, but if a good social worker was to hear this, how they would feel comfortable leaving the children in the house, the same house where this one spouse came up with this plan. How you come up with this plan, but the other one didn't know about it.
Okay. All right. Interesting thought. All right. Libraries. You know, you're the millennial in the room. You know, what say you about the librarians not having any peace throughout the nation? They are all over the place complaining.
This is sad. It's a sad day when the librarians can't get peace, when your job is just to put the books back and help people find the books. Now, there's no peace, and it's just like peace is just, it's like there's an attempt to just wipe peace out altogether. Like, what's more peaceful than that? Is like one of the most easiest jobs. Well, what you got to do is just tell people be quiet every now and then. You know, a lot of, they've been trying to redo a lot of these libraries. We just had, we were a part of a fashion show at a library a couple of months ago. So to now hear that all of this stuff is going on in libraries, it's like, why? Like, what? Like, who wakes up in the morning and says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go into the fiction section. And I'm going to just start. Like, what? Like, why? Like, what is the problem? It's sad.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, you know, my due time crew, for indulging me in the news. I have no church folk issue here. No for church folk question. Did you think of anything, Shantese?
No. I mean, lack of consideration came to mind. We're talking about these dogs. You know, and it doesn't have to be contained to just, you know, the dogs on the plane. It's just lack of consideration. That's just one of the areas where people just show, like, if I'm comfortable with it, if I want to do it, then I really don't care about what other people think, because this makes sense to me. Everyone else should be okay with it. So it is what it is. And a lot of church folk, even in different areas of their life, that's the mentality. And that's not how God is telling us we should be thinking.
All right. Let's hear what Pastor Jeff. Pastor Jeff, what say you about that? You know, do you think that we should be thinking different? And it's funny that you brought that up, Shantese, because I said to myself, you know, are we as Christian people supposed to be, we should think differently because these are service dogs. These are service animals. And service animals are supposed to be, they exist as companions for people who, you know, just, they have social anxiety and, you know, they need to figure out, you know, or they need to make it and they don't have, you know, people around them, you know, or they don't know how to function with people. There's many reasons why, you know, these people could need a, you know, a service dog. And should we be a little more sensitive? What do you think, Pastor Jeff?
Yes, we should be very sensitive. And keep your dog away from me. And keep that little rat where he's supposed to be. That's how I feel about it. But, no, I mean, I guess I can't understand. Because, you know, I do, you know, I have a wife and kids, and I have, you know, them around me all the time, so I have company. So I can't understand. But at the same time, you know, the service animal should be trained to the point where he ain't boo-booing all over the place, and you should, you know, keep it within the confines of the rules and start acting like they're human, because they're not. And I can understand falling in love with your animal, because I was in love with my white German Shepherd. As a kid, growing up, he protected me, you know. And when he died, I cried. But at the same time, I took care of him. I didn't have him up in people's faces, you know. And I didn't even violate people with my animal. I mean, you know, don't act like they're human. Stop. But, they, you know, I don't know. Be a little compassionate, but just, you know, stay within the rules. So I got to deal with your animal. It ain't my animal.
Okay. Pastor KL, what say you? Should we be a little more sensitive to the fact that people need service animals?
I'd say no. I mean, that might sound a little harsh. I mean, I'm old enough to know or to understand, when did this service animal thing come out? You know, back in my days, you had a service animal when you were blind, you know, and that was your CNI dog. And that's what you needed. I mean, that is obvious that you need help, you know. And service animals and people, they've gotten above the law. Again, I work in a store, and I work in a store that has, you know, a lot of different things, but primarily food. I don't want a dog in my store around or sniffing the stuff that I have to potentially buy. And you can't even question the owner, because all they have to do is say, hey, that dog can't be in here. And all he or she has to say, it's a service animal. And the conversation has to stop. Otherwise, it's a legal battle. So they are above the law. I'm sorry. If you got emotional stress, you and your dog stay in the house. Why must I be subjected by your disability? If I can't walk, you're not coming to push my wheelchair. You're not doing that. Why do I have to be subjected to this? You stay in the house, give somebody else a grocery list, and let them go shopping for you. I have no sympathy for these. And that is not just a dog. It's a cat. I was in a store, and it's a monkey. It's all type of stuff. You know, I mean, listen, you know who used to be the service animal in my house? Me. Hey, pass me the remote. Hey, get me a beer. Hey, do this. I was the service animal. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what things have changed.
You know, I have to say, I was thinking about this as we talked, and that's why I said that's why that was the thing that came to my mind for the church folk question. And I have to say, I'm in 100% agreement. It's not that we need to be more sensitive. That's what people would say. People would say, well, you know, y'all are church people, and you know, church people should understand. Okay, so I'm gonna use an Ernie thing. Hold it. I am also human, and I too do not. Everybody is not a dog lover, and in my opinion, I feel like now that there's, because this is the smaller percentage of the world who needs these service animals, who need these service dogs. So the smallest percent of the world gets to outweigh those who have allergies, those who have a fear of dogs. The same way you're a dog lover, there are people who really fear dogs, people who just don't want them around. And I honestly believe that we should have a say as to whether I want to have a dog in my supermarket. You know, I remember going to Walmart and going to, you know, I didn't know this issue of this service animal rule. I had no idea. And I went to the girl in the store. I was like, well, what is this? The dogs are in the store with us? And she was like, please go, because I said, I'm going to complain. And she's like, please complain, because I'm sick of it. And I don't want dogs around my food. Because you have a service animal, does that necessarily mean you care for your dog properly? Are you washing the dog properly? Does the dog have fleas? You know, I'm sorry. That's the stuff that I think about. So do I want the dog in my shopping cart? Oh, my God. Do I want the dog in my shopping cart in the supermarket? No. You to say that these people who have this issue have the right to have animals in the cart, in the supermarket, in the this place, in the that place, I think it's completely unfair to the rest of the population. I think it's inconsiderate to the, so we have to consider them. And I do understand, since you know, think more of others than yourself. But still, my whole world should not have to shift because you have an issue with having to have a companion. The same thing Pastor Kale said is what I thought. I said, okay, fine. we all understand that whether we're allergic to dogs or whether we like dogs or not, this world walks dogs. You have an option. If the dog is on this side of the street, you don't tell the people to change the side of the street. You'll change the side of the street. So that's not a problem. But when it is, and if we're going on a plane or if we are in a store, then you know what? You need to find an alternative to accommodate your need. So if your need is to shop, you know other people, or find somebody, or you need to be required. Or you know what? Better yet, you have the elderly people in Walmart, the greeters. You have the elderly people who need jobs. You have the teens who need jobs, who are dog lovers, and they need to do things like this. Here's what you do. Hire them. Give them the list. Let them shop for you. Plain and simple as that. That boy, oh boy, look how quickly we have resolved this issue. There are teens who need jobs. They, you know, they need to get in the habit of going out to the job after, you know, after school, or, you know, now they've graduated and now, you know, they have short hours in college. Give them the jobs. Again, there's some elderly people who, you know, they've retired and now they want to, you know, try to, you know, pass the day away. Do that. Let them do that. For those who need to travel in the airport, they can go anywhere you go, but let it go to the old school. Put them in the cart underneath the plane and go about your business. You only got a matter of, what, 2-3 hours to be on the plane? If you have social anxiety issues, then find somebody to travel with you until the, I don't care what you do, but I just don't believe that the whole world needs to be turned upside down because you have a need. There are too many ways. Let me tell you something. We serve a God that will cater to your needs. He has an answer for your needs. So I don't think it means upsetting the entire world to get this done. And you know, because, you know, a lot of people say, I don't understand that. I don't understand how this becomes, like Pastor Gail said, this becomes, you know, where they rule and we have no say. I don't get it. Shanti, you
want to
say something?
What? Yes, I'm sorry. I just find it very interesting how people say they need this service dog because this is their emotional support. Because pretty much, like, I don't have anybody. You're not going to have anybody if you keep causing fights everywhere you go. You're causing a fight in the store because you got to bring your pet. You're causing a fight on the plane because you got to bring your pet. When are you going to learn how to be? And this is what I see the problem being. I see the problem being, and of course, I'm speaking to the Christians because the non-believers, you don't grasp common sense. You have to, it goes back to what you just said, Pastor Steph. God did not design us humans to now trash each other, but put animals or other things above a relationship and fellowship with another human. So now I'm going to continue to trash any potential relationship I can have with another person because, oh, I just can't be around people. I can't be. They just sit and think about why you feel like you can't be around other people. Do you sit and think about, so all of this attention, if you feel like you were able to create such a strong bond with this animal, what do you think you could do with another person? But you would never know that if you keep consuming yourself with this, oh, I just got to have my animal. If you put your mind towards, God has made it very clear that he is big on human relationships. Animals are a luxury. I have not read anywhere where animals are a necessity to live. We need each other to survive and live. I have not. Somebody please point out the verse or somewhere else where it says that it would really be harmful to our sanity if we don't have an animal. But yet we're willing to trash the human. It's just crazy.
Interesting thought. Very interesting thought. Pastor Jeff, what do you think about that thought? That's an interesting point.
Reiterate that again, because I didn't hear that well.
Okay, so God has made it very clear on how big he is on our relationship with each other. But instead of focusing on that, we'd rather turn our attention and give all of our energy to this animal, which is causing more chaos. Because now I've gotten to the point where I'm so inconsiderate of other people because I feel like I need my animal with me everywhere. That now I'm not only am I, you know, developing relationships, but I'm trashing potential relationships because now this is becoming a problem everywhere I go.
I agree. I believe that's a trick of the enemy, you know, trying to, you know, break up relationships and keep, you know, God's plan, God's design from going forward. So he uses everything. He's using these dogs and cats and animals. And you got people sitting up there just totally, you know, their whole life is they dogs, you know. And dogs sitting up at the table eating steak dinner with you and all that, kissing you in the mouth, everything, sleeping on you, you know, everything. You know, and I believe, you know, I would say that. You know, it keeps back relationships, keeps back what God meant. So I agree with you.
Okay. Pastor KL, I never even thought about this concept that Shantice just brought up. Well, what's your thought?
Okay, so while I totally agree with Shantice, I'll take it from another avenue. If you ever seen a child with an absentee father or absentee mother, though they're absent, they can do no wrong. No wrong. I mean, and they can see who they are, but they can do no wrong. They still the best thing. So with a dog don't talk back. A dog doesn't give you no opinions. A dog is not going to question my behavior. A dog is just going to love me. So I don't have to take a chance in a relationship where I'm getting rejected. The dog is never going to reject me. So I'm safer with the dog than trying to take a chance with a human.
Okay. Point well taken. At the end of the day, you know, I'll throw my hat in the ring. At the end of the day, as convenient as it may be to gravitate to something like a doll that I can control, a doll that doesn't speak back, a doll that, you know, I can, you know, dictate what happens, and all it's going to do is love me back. You know, the same thing as an imaginary friend. An imaginary friend, I can dictate what it does. I can dictate what it says. I can dictate how it behaves, how it responds, so forth and so on. It makes what the point makes me think about the fact that these things were created so that we have dominion over it, not that we become beholden to it. So it's a very interesting concept that, you know, you brought up, Shanti, an interesting point that you brought up where we're not supposed to, it's not designed, whether it's, you know, we've, because that's a manipulative thing, the point that Pastor KL brought up. You know, at the end of the day, it's a manipulative way of thinking, because it ain't gonna do nothing but love me, so therefore I can do whatever I want to do, and you know, it ain't gonna do nothing but love me back, you know, because just like
that's,
you know, I brought up earlier,
that's why black men marry white women.
Oh my gosh. Oh my god.
She gonna do what I say, she gonna stay quiet and do nothing but love me.
Wow.
That black woman got too much attitude.
Oh my gosh.
All the
maybe one. Maybe what'd you say, Pastor KL?
I said, on the next Geraldo. That's a whole other story.
Right. That's what I said. You know, do we now open up the floor for that conversation? Oh, my. You know, it's something that, you know, we need to definitely think about. But, you know, as always, the Due Time crew never disappoints. Thank you so much. And we're going to go into our prayer moment right now. But thank you so much for your contribution into today's conversation. And we pray that you have a blessed day.
You as well.
Thank you.
Great topic, Shanti.
Thank you. All right, let's shut it down. Let's shut these mics off. Where are we here? All right. Let's take this moment to go into our holding hands and holding hearts. Heavenly Father God, we come before you thanking you for just introducing us into today, into this day we have never seen before. And the day we will never see again. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for investing in us just one more time, God. And as we come before you, we just have to say thank you for how blessed we are. We're thanking you, dear Heavenly Father, that we have a platform to just openly discuss things, to just mull some things over with other individuals, God, where some good points can be brought out and stimulate our thinking. We're thanking you, dear Heavenly Father, that we have the freedom of speech. Everybody may not agree with what each individual says or feels, but we have the freedom to speak. And we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that we're born in a nation where we have the ability to do so. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for paying the bills. As I always say, God, thank you for that cable bill being paid, that internet bill being paid, that phone bill being paid. However it is, God, that you are enabling us to connect, where it doesn't matter where we are geographically, we are able to communicate and touch base. We are grateful to Heavenly Father that we're not the news. We're thanking you that we can sit back and we can discuss it and no one's talking about us. That tragedy has not hit our front door. That we are not the perpetrator, to Heavenly Father. And there were many a day that we could have been. But you have seen to it that we are not. How grateful. Are we, dear Heavenly Father, that you have rescued us from some of the experiences that others may have had. God, even simple inconveniences that we don't even want to experience. God, you've just rescued us even from that. So some people may say it's small, God. Some people may say it's big, but I just say thank you for however we look at it individually, however we look at it collectively. I just say thank you because there are just some places I don't want to be, just some experiences that I don't want to have. And I've ducked and dodged all of these things by your mercy and your grace, dear Heavenly Father. I thank you, God, for the very air we breathe, just the breath that we have, God, that enables us to just be here and to minister for you. Thank you for choosing us. And we pray to Heavenly Father as we get up each and every day that we follow what you would have us to do, that we do what you say. We follow your will, your way, God. We speak only the things that you want us to speak, God. And Lord, as we are the listeners, we thank you to Heavenly Father for just being partakers in your word, of your word. Thank you. Thank you for feeding us each and every day. If it's nothing more than something that we get, that we bring it back to you so you can give us clarity, we say thank you. Thank you, Father, for the love that you extend to each and every one of us. That no matter what we're going through, you still love us. Thank you, Father. We give you the glory and the honor, dear Lord, so rightly do your name. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, as we were talking, I just really give God thanks just again for just not being on that plane or the plane that I was on, you know, thanking God for ducking and dodging that, you know, we don't have to be held up in, on a plane, you know, where we got to wait, you know, for the mess to be cleaned up for someone else's convenience. You know, I'm sure they didn't think that this was going to happen. You know, we don't know how they felt afterwards and so forth and so on. And, you know, a lot of things go through my mind when we go through this news, and I say, you know, God, how blessed are we that, you know, we are not victims here. You know, I read an article where, you know, someone was just walking the street and someone just reached out and just punched them, hit them for no reason. And I think about how often we walk past people and how merciful God is that it wasn't us. You know, I don't know why it was that person and not me. I don't know. I'm not going to just automatically say that, you know, it ain't never going to be me. But I give God thanks that it's not me. And, you know, when we, you know, people always talk about, you know, the way we should feel and the way we should believe as Christian people. You know, there's this expectation sometimes of just things that are just unrealistic. And, you know, again, I give God thanks that I don't have any anxiety about people, that I have to hold on to an animal, you know, or a doll, or, you know, there are other things that, you know, people grasp onto that help them save the day, that saves the day. And, you know, I say, you know, what a blessing it is to know the Lord. What a blessing it is to have Jesus as your personal Savior. That when you have levels of anxiety, when you, you know, need to grasp onto something to help get you through, you have God. You know, people may be saying, oh, you know, it's so easy. I have people say all the time, you know, it's so easy to say. Yeah, God, no, it ain't easy to say, because there was a time when I didn't know the Lord. And I was reaching out to man and things and animals or whatever it was, you know, to get me through. But it's so good to know the Savior. And there's so much we have to be grateful for that we don't experience these things. We don't have to worry about, you know, hey, if I don't have my animal, I can't function. No, I don't want an animal in a restaurant where I'm eating. You know, there was a lady with us, and, you know, she was not with us personally, but in the restaurant with us, and, you know, she, here was the thing. She came in with her dog and another person. So I'm saying to myself, well, then what, that throws your anxiety, because you ain't got nothing but the dog, out the window. You walked in with somebody. Now, did you happen to meet that person at the door and, you know, you didn't realize they were coming and y'all just happened? You know, that happens. However, I don't want to eat, pull my food out, eat in a restaurant with another dog. And again, you know, we don't have say. But imagine that life. Imagine having to live like that. Imagine that's what you know. Is it because you have not been introduced to the Savior? Is it that you've been introduced to God, but this is your option, this is your, you know, alternative, this is what you choose? Boy, it's a whole lot of questions behind this thing. But all I say to you, make sure you get to know the Lord, because there is nothing better than knowing God for yourself. Because what I'm realizing more and more and more is that we all don't know God the same way. I'm watching, I'm hearing, I'm experiencing people knowing God on a different level. And when I say that, I don't mean, you know, well, of course, Stephanie, you know, everybody ain't going to be on the same level. Nah. I mean people who have been saying that they are a child of God for decades, but yet there are so many weaknesses and thoughts that aren't complete. And it's like you haven't tried God. And it goes back to what Pastor KL said one day. You know, they know God through someone else. They have not really tried God for themselves. And I'm seeing that more and more and more. It's like the reason why you don't know God is because you won't try God. The reason why you don't know God the way you could know God is because you have not entrusted God to this. You have not put your faith out there for that. So therefore, you're missing out. You're missing out greatly on really knowing who God is and what God can do for you. And how a lot of anxiety comes from not knowing God. It's the same thing we're talking about with the service animals. You know, I gave a sermon and I asked, what is your crack? What's your service animal? What's your issue? What are you hiding behind? Or what are you using as a crutch? Or what are you relying on so much? Are you relying on fear? Are you relying on other people? What are you relying on that you have not gotten to know God as your personal, as the head of your life and Jesus as your personal Savior, that you are not benefiting from how great, big, and wonderful God is? Are you just saying it and you really don't know it because you really haven't tried it? Try it. I encourage you to try it today in a way you've never tried God before. This is what we see. This is the pockets of holes. These are pockets of weaknesses that we see. And, you know, are you putting yourself through anxiety that you don't necessarily have to go through? It's really no different. It's really no different. You know, Shanti's came up with a good one today. Came up with a real good one. And she was talking. I'm saying, you know, God wanted us to have dominion over this earth. Do we really? Do we really have dominion over this earth? Are we really taking control? We may not be. And we're missing out on some good stuff. We are missing out on some good stuff. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us. Please do not miss this opportunity to give Christ your life. Please do not miss this opportunity. Even if you have said that you've given Christ your life, to just surrender everything to him. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone. Until tomorrow, God spares, where it's Wow Wednesday. Until then, I love you. God spares life. I'll check you tomorrow.